Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. The Great Dragon. This term comes from Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, where we read about the origin of evil. And the great dragon, the scripture says, was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Like it or not, you have a sworn enemy. He has drawn a line in the sand. You must fight or you will be destroyed. The introduction to the God of all creation and lover of his highest creation, mankind, is of supreme importance. And so is realizing and understanding the existence of the most wicked and iniquitous being in the universe. He is one of the major themes and realities in this record of mankind's beginning. The Word of our God unveils creation's account, leading to our present day and into eternity future. What is set forth in the book of Genesis would set the stage and affect all of the history that would follow. This book of origins is about that fatal falsehood which emanates from the garden where it all began. A garden that was sinless bliss and perfection until the lie was introduced and acted upon by the first two people, Adam and Eve. Of this very arch enemy of the Most High, from whom all lies emanate, the Word of God states, "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God." Ezekiel 28:13. Speaking of Satan, the scripture says, "Thou hast been in Eden." That's the Garden of Eden, the garden of God. Ezekiel 28:13. The serpent, animated by the vilest of all beings, was allowed to slither into the innocence and purity that originally existed in the sanctuary of creation. This was due to the fact that perfect divine wisdom has seen fit to allow his creation to have the opportunity of choice between good and evil. Satan has a purpose. Since love is volitional by its very nature, our Maker has seen fit to permit this evil and beguiling villain to remain present amidst those professing sanctuary in the Lord. Life on earth is a test for all. All humans are on probation. Love is a choice, and so is rebellion. The Maker of all made man with the free will so that the choice could be made to love or not to love him. Among volumes of other scriptures found in the Bible which demonstrates this, the following words from on high make plain: the Lord gave man and made him with free will. Joshua 24:15. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. Such statements in scripture, such as Joshua 24:15, would never have been spoken by the Lord if he had not made man with the ability of choice. Man was created with the ability to choose every day whom he will serve. And this choice is ongoing while men are upon the earth in this temporal life. It would be remiss to attempt discussing the very lie of the ages without opening the grand subject of the one whom Christ said was the father, the originator of all lies. Of Satan, the Son of God informed us as he spoke to the rebellious religionists of his day. In John 8:44, Jesus said, "Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. John 8:44. All men are born in sin, and are by nature the children of disobedience. According to Ephesians 2:2-3, the scripture says, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Unquote, Ephesians 2:2-3. There are, at this moment, only two classes of people in the earth: those who have a relationship with the one who made us all, and those who don't. According to this passage in Ephesians 2, all those who have not been brought into the kingdom of God through Christ have as their father the devil. The reason the Son of God came to the earth was to sever the ties and claim of Satan from mankind and over mankind. Jesus came to deliver men from the relationship of fear, domination, and bondage that is only enabled by sin. Notice Acts 26:18 says, to open their eyes. It tells us exactly why Jesus came to the earth, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Unquote, Acts 26:18. Also Colossians 1:13-14 says, who God the Father, speaking of God the Father, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, that's Satan, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Colossians 1:13-14. The mission of Christ was to reconcile or restore the relationship that had been severed by sin in the Garden of Eden. He fully accomplished his mission and is now seated at his Father's right hand, enforcing this victory at his throne of grace, according to Hebrews 4. From the dawn of creation and fall of mankind, all evil, tragedy, and pain in history has been caused by Satan and enabled by man's sin. Only the Lord, the one whose holiness is violated when sin is committed, can save, restore, make whole, and heal, according to Scripture. Victory was obtained through the precious blood of Jesus, according to 1 Peter 1, being forgiven and released from all sin and its evil effect, and the dominion of Satan comes through Christ alone. Jesus utterly conquered his enemy on the cross, according to Colossians 2. In fact, 1 John 3:8 says that Jesus came to destroy the works of Satan. Blessed forgiveness and spiritual power enables the individual disciple to serve the Lord without fear and bondage to sin. Sin enables Satan's rule, and only those who are free from it by Jesus Christ can rule over his enemies. Jesus said, whom the Son hath made free or set free is free indeed. And in the same passage, he taught that only obedience to the truth, not just truth, but obeying it, causes people to be made free. Free from what? Free from sin. Free from Satan. Christ triumphed over the enemy of all souls with his death on the cross and resurrection from the dead. Read the following passage with me. It's Colossians 1:19-23. It says, for it pleased the Father that in him, that's in Christ, should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, that is, he made peace between God and fallen man through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated or separated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. That's Colossians chapter 1. The Son of God accomplished complete victory in bringing God and men back into perfect union by the blood of his cross. Colossians 1:20. Notice Colossians 2:13 through 15 says, "And you being dead," that means separated, "in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened or made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show or a sport, a spectacle of them openly, triumphing over them in it." Amen. Colossians 2. Notice the serpent who was in the garden of creation and still, quote, walketh about seeking whom may devour, he's walking in the midst of the earth, is specifically identified as Satan and the devil in 1 Peter 5, verse 8. This ultimate enemy of all that is good took control of the serpent in his attack against man. The serpent, animated by the enemy of souls himself, was used as the instrument that led to the fall of mankind and the righteous retribution of the holy Creator. Yet Jesus Christ accomplished man's redemption through the blood of his cross. Again, that's Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. Okay, in light of this enemy that we have, we should know who our enemy is and how he operates. Allow me to parenthetically say here that if one does not personally believe in a literal devil and his insidious work of evil among men, then perhaps that person will do well to begin to search God's word for the volumes of Scripture which identify and describe him, that's the enemy, Satan, along with unveiling his wicked purposes. The Lord inspired the Scriptures and has much to say about his enemy and our enemy in order to protect us from him. In fact, the Scripture says that we're not to be ignorant of his, Satan's, devices. 2 Corinthians 2:11. You know, it's interesting to discover that the word devil appears 57 times in the Bible. The word Satan appears 50 times. These are the most utilized terms to describe this darkest of fallen beings, and yet there are several more which identify this enemy of all souls, who is the personification of evil, such as the word serpent and adversary, 1 Peter 5:8, Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, for example. In Revelation 12, verse 9, the Bible says, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him," unquote. Revelation 12, verse 9. His goal may be summed up in this way: Satan's complete and total purpose that underlies all that he does is to cause men to fall from grace, just as he himself did and was banished from fellowship with the life-giving God of all creation and cast out of heaven. There is a horrible prison of fire which will be the eternal home of all who leave this earth apart from the personal and intimate fellowship and relationship with the one who died on that cross for all sinners, Jesus Christ. On Judgment Day, that great and terrible day of separation between the righteous and the unrighteous, will include those horrible words from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And that's found in Revelation 20. Let's read verse 11 through 15. "And I saw a great white throne," the Scripture says, "and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. and they were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 20, verse 11 through 15. So, to those whose existence in this temporal life end disconnected from the only Savior, Jesus Christ, the following will be the verdict they receive. Quote, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Notice the lake of fire was not created for man. It was created originally for the devil and his angels. But all men who follow Satan and the fallen angels, the third of the angels, who rebel against their creator, the Almighty God, they also will be going to the lake of fire, irrevocably and for all eternity, to suffer torment, conscious torment forever, world without end. Hell is a place of indescribable, horrid, eternal punishment, and was created by the Lord for his arch enemy and all those who are not his. They make the choice to reject the gospel, the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Back to the enemy. Let's talk about Satan a little bit more. The one who wants you dead and in hell, the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, notice he's your enemy, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:8. One may find great intrigue in uncovering this iniquitous fallen foe and gain much insight into the dark world of demons and deception, along with gaining perception into the real battle and the spirit realm that rages over mankind. Notice Ephesians 6:11-12 says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the devices of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Ephesians 6. By the volume of information about his enemy included in his word, we know that the Lord intended for us to know our enemy and his enemy. Believers are to give him no place. Ephesians 4:27 says, neither give place to the devil. Believers are to set themselves against Satan. The scripture says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. James 4:7. Also Ephesians 6:11. Stand against the wiles of the devil. Believers are to know his scheming goals and ways and avoid them, lest he gain advantage of us. 2 Corinthians 2:11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, we are not ignorant of his devices. The devil has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy, according to Jesus, and he has come to trip us up, to war against us, and to wear out and devour the sheep of the Lord's pasture. He has come to wreak havoc among the Lord's highest creation. The thief, as I quoted a moment ago, the devil, that is, Jesus said, cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have life more abundantly. John chapter 10, verse 10. Power over all the power of the enemy. Believers are warned to live in obedience to the word of God in order to escape falling into what? The condemnation of the devil, quote unquote, and being caught in what? The snare of the devil, or giving an advantage to him, according to 1 Timothy 3, 2 Timothy 2, and 2 Corinthians 2, the enemy of our soul prospers through the ignorance of God's people. He is shut out and his work nullified by the knowledge and obedience of God's people to the word of God. Psalm 17:4 says, by the word of thy lips, the word of God, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. I want to encourage you to memorize that verse, my friend. That's Psalm chapter 17, verse 4. Let me read it again. By the word of thy lips, that's the word of God, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. And the destroyer we know is Satan. Psalm 91:1 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, that is, he that is born again and abides intimate with Christ, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow or the protection and provision of the Almighty. Psalm 91:1. Disciples of Jesus are kept from being destroyed by the enemy and obeying the Word of God. Holy Writ, the Word of God, the written scriptures, inform us that Jesus came to successfully do what? Destroy the works of the devil, quote unquote, and that what? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John 3:8 and 4:4. Christ promised power to those who are truly his. Notice Luke 10:17-20. The Bible says, and the 70 that Jesus sent out to do ministry, that is the 70, if you begin reading in verse 1 of Luke 10, that's what you'll read about. It's the 70 he sent out to do his work. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. We may not have stopped before to think about this, but Jesus Christ is God. He dwelt in glory in heaven with the Father for all eternity past and forever. Now here he is on the earth telling his own disciples and speaking to the whole world. It's on record from that point on in the most popular and blessed and important book ever, the Bible. He's telling them that he witnessed firsthand, because he's God, how Lucifer, who was then called Satan, was cast out of heaven. And that's written in the 28th chapter of Ezekiel, Isaiah 14 also. I beheld Satan, he said, as lightning, like a bolt of lightning, fall from heaven. He was violently ejected for his rebellion. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you, he tells his disciples, power to do what? To tread on serpents and on scorpions. And that represents the powers and principalities of the enemy of all souls. And over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you, notwithstanding. And in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject. Now he tells you what those serpents, scorpions, and the power of the enemy are. They're the what? Spirits. Notwithstanding in this rejoice not. Don't rejoice that I gave you power over them. That the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Again, it's Luke 10:17-20. Jesus Christ, the eternal Word, became flesh so that he might destroy the works of the enemy of our souls. Notice Hebrews 2:14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, unquote. Hebrews 2:14. Believers are told to be a sober mind, and diligent in light of the proactive and evil plans of Satan, who seeks to destroy them. Let's read 1 Peter 5:8-9. Be sober, it says, be vigilant, because your adversary, that's your enemy, the devil. Did you know that you have an enemy? Here it is. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's preying on you with an E. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. 1 Peter 5:8-9. Here's what the Bible says about Satan's work in the last days. Revelation 12:12. It says, therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Revelation 12:12. As foretold here, the work of the evil one is accelerating in this late hour before the destruction of all rebellion and the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Alpha and the Omega himself is coming back, and his enemy's end is sure. Romans 16:20 says, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Also, Revelation 20:2-3. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more. till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. Amen. Revelation 20, verse 2 and 3. Also, verse 10 of that same chapter, Revelation 20, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Surrounded and outnumbered. Notice Elisha's servant was brought to the understanding that there are more angels of God with his children than there are fallen angels who rebelled. Think about that for a moment. Notice 2 Kings chapter 6 verses 15 through 17 says, "And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host encompassed the city, both with horses and chariots, and his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do?" I mean, what are we going to do about this, man? We're surrounded by a host of the enemy. And he, the prophet Elisha, answered, "Fear not." When his servant was scared, in other words, and came and warned Elisha about the enemy having surrounded them and seemingly them being pinned up against insurmountable odds, Elisha answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes." In other words, open the eyes of my servant that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. 2 Kings 6, 15 through 17. And let me just throw this in there. Fear not, beloved, you're not alone. The host of heaven is watching over you. Goodness and mercy is following you all the days of your life. I've heard it said once that goodness and mercy are two big old angels. In that same chapter, Psalm 34 says, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and he delivers them." That's Psalm 34:7. The one who is following Christ need not fear. Lord Jesus, open our eyes. We pray right now, as Elijah did for his servant, in Jesus' name. And saints, remember, nothing has changed. There are more, notice, more angels of the Lord, and they are what? They're with us than they that be with them, or the enemy. The enemy is outnumbered and definitely outgunned. God has never lost a war or a battle, and never will. That would be impossible. The saints of the Most High are the promised protection. They have the promised protection of his angels, and that's part of his plan. Notice Hebrews 1:14. "Are they," that is God's angels, "not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" Again, Psalm 34:7. "The angel of the Lord encamps." Do you know that God camps out around you? The angel of the Lord, some believe, and it becomes clear in the Old Testament, is the Lord himself. But we know we also have his angels from him and from the host of heaven. The angel of the Lord encamps out round about them that fear him. Do we fear God? And delivereth them. In heaven and in eternity past, 2/3 of the then angelic beings remained under the command and blessing of the Almighty, while 1/3 chose to depart with Lucifer and are forever alienated from the Most High. Let's take a glimpse into a war that took place in heaven in eternity past, a war that has great impact today. Revelation 12:7-13 says, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon," that's Satan, "and the dragon fought against his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven." That is for the 1/3 of the rebellious angels. And it continues. The scripture says, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren, that's Satan, is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of a lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and to the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. That's Revelation chapter 12. Notice it would remain difficult to understand this life and present world system and the world to come if one were to pass lightly over the war of wars that occurred or took place in heaven, as we just read about in Revelation 12, in eternity past. So we see that the Bible gives us the background information for what we see manifesting like never before in the world today. And when we begin to delve into this data that's given to us in this matter in Scripture, as we are touching on in this chapter, understanding is going to come of our great God and his arch enemy, Satan. Enlightenment and understanding into the 6,000 years of mankind's history open up to us when we know what preceded this time period. Knowledge into what we are told prophetically is transpiring before our very eyes like never before. As we are seeing, the Holy Scriptures reveal much about that dark and sinister being called Satan and the devil, who is and will have a large part to play in the fulfillment of prophecy. Although his rebellion against the Almighty began in eternity past, the serpent's workings among men began in the Garden of Eden. He crept in to accomplish his wicked agenda. He baited the man and the woman, and they took the bait. He has seemingly succeeded for the moment, yet the divine promise is that his time is running out. Again, Revelation 12:12, the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Let's talk about the first fallout, eternal termination, if you will. We all understand what it means when someone says, John and Mark had a falling out, or Mary and Chelsea had a falling out. This means they were friends or business partners, and then because of some disagreement, they parted company and are no longer friends. Well, the first falling out occurred between the Almighty and Lucifer. In eternity past, the angel Lucifer fell out of the favor of God and consequently fell out of heaven. Of Lucifer's ejection from heaven, the Son of God stated, quote, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And why was he ejected from heaven? The evil one was evicted from heaven when he turned against God. Originally, he was a good angel, the anointed cherub, quote unquote, the anointed cherub or angel who led the worship of the Almighty until the day that, quote, listen, iniquity was found in him. Ezekiel 28, beginning at verse 14, Lucifer, who became Satan and the devil, led a third of the angels of the Most High in rebellion against God. This is what is meant by Revelation 12:4, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of the angels of heaven and did cast them to the earth. So ultimately, all deception and all lies have their origin in this greatest of all enemies who brought about the sin and fall of mankind and wages war today against the Lord and his people and his will, against the Almighty's highest creation, that is mankind, created in God's image. Of Satan, the Son of God said, for he is a liar and the father of it, John 8:44. He also informed us that this supreme adversary has come to do three things: to steal, to kill, and to destroy. John 10:10. He wages war against God and his people. He is defined as and called what? The accuser of the brethren. Revelation 12:10. So Satan is a real being. He is not a figment of someone's imagination. In fact, anyone who is convinced of such has already been conquered by the deception of Satan himself. He is forever the sworn enemy of the Lord and will ultimately be put away for good, never again to tempt another soul to rebel against the maker of all that is. Revelation 12:10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. The one who studies the Word of God will gain priceless insight into the reasons for the current condition of the world, this fallen world, and into the future blessedness of all those who know and follow the one who bled on the cross to save us from God's holy wrath against sin and Satan, Romans 5:9. In fact, a divine blessing is pronounced upon all who read and obey the words of Holy Scripture. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. As we close, friends, let's pray together. Holy Heavenly Father, please bless me to know you more and to be kept from the evil one and his wicked schemes against your people. I ask you for the blood of Jesus to wash me afresh, whereby I am blessed to overcome by the blood of a lamb and the word of my testimony. Along with the word of my testimony, Lord, we overcome as you have washed us in your blood. And we declare afresh, Lord, and aloud right this second, if never before, that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. And he alone will I worship and serve. Glory to his precious, holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.